Welcome to City of God, a podcast of the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Dr. Owen Strand, and I'll be your host. Join us each week as we engage the city of man with the biblical wisdom of the city of God. Every historian's dream is to inspire a rap musical. That's the takeaway, one could argue, from the work of historian Ron Chernow, who in 2004 penned a biography of Alexander Hamilton that in recent years, as many podcast listeners will know, has become a famous Broadway musical with Lin-Manuel Miranda retelling the story of Alexander Hamilton, the incredible story of Hamilton, set to rap. I have interest in this subject for a number of reasons, including both history and rap. But I recently was able to engage Chernow's biography of Hamilton and came away from it deeply impressed in a number of areas by the life of this fascinating figure. Alexander Hamilton, as some will know, was born in the West Indies, and he was born in very humble circumstances. He was what was called an illegitimate child, the son of a man and a woman who were not married, and he faced tremendous obstacles early in his life as his parents either abandoned him or died. And Hamilton is a figure who, on the face of it, should not have been written into the pages of history. He is one who oddsmakers would argue should have been anonymous to us. But instead, in 2016, we're still reading his story through Chernow's writing, and a select few who can obtain tickets for the Broadway show are actually watching Hamilton's life story unfold to the tune of a hip-hop story. I was struck in reading Hamilton's life story by three different lessons along the lines of what I have described already. You see from Hamilton's life that humanity has nearly infinite potential. And by this I mean that every life has infinite potential, or nearly infinite potential, if you will. That's not simply true of those who are well-born and well-educated. As Christians, we believe that every life is made in the image of God. Every man or woman, boy or girl is fashioned according to the very likeness of God and thus is a living representative of God on this earth, even in a fallen condition post Adam's fall. This is an important takeaway in 2016. And it's important because this view that I have just laid out very briefly is very much challenged today by what some have called the culture of death in American public life. In other words, abortion makes it possible for people who are in tough circumstances to say, you know what, this child that is growing in a mother's womb does not face very good odds. This child is very likely not going to triumph in life and is going to face foreboding circumstances from the very beginning, and so this child should thus be killed, should be put to death in the mother's womb. Tragically, over 50 million children have met that horrible end for logic of the kind I just laid out. Alexander Hamilton refutes in his own person that very thinking. Hamilton, as I said, is exactly the type of figure who should not have been able to transcend his very humble, even disastrous beginnings. But Hamilton was one who had a very sharp mind and worked very hard, both as a boy and as a man, and was able to attract the interest of a number of rich patrons in the West Indies, but also in America, New York City in particular, and thus went to King's College, present-day Columbia, and eventually found his way on the staff of General George Washington in the Revolutionary War, eventually becomes Treasury Secretary and a major architect of the American financial system. So Hamilton again shows us that we are not justified, at least from the outset, in placing limits on any person, but that every individual, every man or woman, boy or girl, has vast and often untapped potential. Hamilton's story reminds us as well of something that's very key to those who follow American public life, and it's this. There is a very live conversation that Hamilton himself enters in the 18th century and just barely into the 19th century. He dies in 1804, between what you could call federalism and localism in American politics. Chernow does a good job of framing the decades-long contest between two American founders in particular, Hamilton, who is largely an advocate of an expanding American government, and Thomas Jefferson on the other side, who is, in general terms, an advocate of localized politics and in particular states' rights. There are numerous reasons that each figure makes to support their point of view. Suffice it to say for us, though, in the 21st century, that this is not an easy conversation to resolve. Sometimes we can use rhetoric that makes it sound as if this conversation is one that is very much settled for us from the outset. A good number of Christians would say that they hold to the vision of the founders, and thus they do not want government to expand precipitously, as it definitely has in the 20th century, even into the 21st century. But we also have to recognize that, at least early on, the federal government provided many guarantors of goodness and protection to American citizens. For example, many states faced crippling debt after the American Revolution, and even into the early 19th century. America did not have a strong military, leaving it susceptible to attack from major powers like England and France. Hamilton is a figure who would challenge us in history, including some of us who would definitely be on the conservative side politically in general terms, to see that there are benefits to federalism, and it is not enough simply to cry localism at every turn. So we can be thankful in some for government, at least in certain aspects. We can recognize even that Romans 13 and other biblical texts would open our eyes to see that the government need not necessarily be our enemy, though it can play that role. The last point that struck me in encountering Hamilton's story was this. Even the most impressive person in our midst is in nothing less than desperate need of God's redeeming grace. And this is true of Hamilton. It's unclear to me whether he becomes a born-again Christian at the end of his life or not. There is some testimony that indicates that in 1804, when he is dying of a gunshot wound propelled into him by the hand of Aaron Burr, the grandson, interestingly, of Jonathan Edwards, following a duel, there is some testimony that Hamilton does become Christian, does confess to trusting in the merits of Christ's blood, and it may well be that Hamilton becomes a Christian essentially on his deathbed. And if that is the case, then that is a glorious truth, and I am not skeptical about that as an idea. I don't know. I wasn't there to see, and I certainly cannot judge his heart in retrospect. But I can say this. For much of Hamilton's life, he very much struggles to handle attacks upon his character and his person. He has a number of dips in terms of his moral performance in his life. At one point, he carries on basically a year-long affair with a woman who is obviously not his wife, and so that is clearly a low point in Hamilton's story. It's very clear as you read about Hamilton's life that though he is a precocious figure, though he has a brilliant intellect, though he can frame a new system of finance or governance or military workings seemingly from thin air and perhaps in a few days' span, maybe a week's time. Hamilton was known to produce thousands and thousands of words per day. He might produce something like 40,000 words over the course of a long weekend. It's very clear that talent alone does not get you to where you need to be in this life. That's a profound reminder to us as Christians. In 2016, we're in an age that celebrates gifting and ability almost over anything else. But we need to make very clear that our chief need is not to be recognized as talented. Our chief need is not even to be cultivated such that our gifts bloom fully in public life. Our chief need, our desperate priority, is to be redeemed. For it's only when we are redeemed that we are truly free and we are able to serve God as God intended for humanity from the beginning. You look at Hamilton's story, and there are many lessons to take away, but I'm struck by the need to make afresh the case in the 21st century for these different principles.
Thanks for listening to City of God, a podcast at the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. We're so thankful you stopped by. We encourage you to continue to join the conversation at cpt.mbts.edu, the official website of the center. And we encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well. Join us in coming days as we continue the conversation on what it means to be the city of God in the city of man.